بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. My respected and honorable friends, believe me, I'm talking the truth. Allah loves you all. But how many of you love Allah? And how many of you truly love Allah? Think about it. It's a serious matter. Really, it's a serious matter. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in English, there's only one word, and that is love. But in the Arabic, love got many stages. And the highest of them is ishq. Ishq means you eat, you sleep, you drink, you walk, everything, Allah. Now through tasawwuf, by becoming bay'ah, that is how you attain and earn this love, this ishq. But it got terms and conditions as everything else has. It is something that has been devised by Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not by the mashayikhs or the ulama. For this bay'ah started from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in the latter part of the lives of the mashayikh. The whole system of bay'ah rotates around love. And Allah has made it so that when you become bay'at, you put your hand into the hands of the sheikh and become bay'ah. You love him and you die for him. When that has come into you, then Allah transfers that love to the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you attain that complete love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah transfers that love to His love. And when you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear respected friends, there's no barrier between you and Allah. If you lift your hands and you tell Allah, bring that light down, immediately that light comes down. Because you have befriended Allah. Now these have conditions, like I said. When you become bay'ah to a sheikh, for you to, in order to attain his love, the first and foremost and most important thing is to practice on your mamuls. If you practice on your mamuls diligently, regularly, then that love is automatically built from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sheikh. For everything in a person's life that happens, happens through the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the power and permission of Allah. Even our lifting of our hand is with the permission of Allah. Like our spiritual mentor rahmatullah alayhi used to say, whenever any murid used to write a letter to him or tell him in a consultation that alhamdulillah, I'm very punctual with my mamul, with my mamuls, plural, Hazrat used to reply and tell them that punctuality of mamuls is a stepping stone to success. So if you want success, be very, very punctual on your mamuls. That is, now Allah has put it in such a way that you start beginning to form time for that mamools to do. Because the sheikh will ask you, you are doing it. Like the story Ustad explains every Ramadan, I don't know if this Ramadan he explained about a murid that came to a false sheikh. The sheikh was a robber. He was a thief. He grew old. Now he couldn't pull out his gun as fast as he could before. So he thought the best thing is do, become a peer. Become a sheikh. The murids bring you a lot of things. But this poor sheikh here, he get nothing from the murids. He got the wrong type of murids. So he thought he'll sit there, one person that came and insisted he wants to become bayat with this sheikh. So now the sheikh, what, he knew nothing. So he told him, okay, your mamul is, go to the field and look after that field. Not concerned whose field it is, what it is. But this murid had the eagerness in him. That is what you require. And because of that eagerness, he went into that field and started cultivating the field. Somebody else's field. The owner came and asked him, hey, what are you doing in my field? No, I don't want to hear nothing. My sheikh told me I must cultivate, and I'm going to cultivate. You can do what you want to. Happened 2 days, 3 days. Then the owner of the garden said, the land, he said, but I'm getting free service here. Why must I squeal and make a noise about it? So the person continued doing that. Now what is this mamul? It wasn't something to recite. It wasn't something from the Quran. It wasn't something from the hadith. It was just merely working in the field. Digging. But the thing behind the whole thing, what was loved, was the dedication to the command of the sheikh. And as it goes, there are 40 abdals at any time, given time, that look after the affairs of the world. When one abdal dies, then he's replaced by someone, another person who is made an abdal. So one abdal passed away, and the abdals had a meeting. And the leader of the abdals is known as Ghaus. Knows as what? Ghaus. My dear respected friends, they had this meeting. And they felt, now who should we be electing in this dead person's place? They looked around onto the surface of the earth, which Allah has given them power because they are abdals. And they saw this dedicated man working in the field. They put their tawajjuh onto him. He got elevated and he became an abdal. When he became an abdal and got into the meeting, he said, no, I have reached this position of an abdal through my sheikh. I cannot leave my sheikh behind. He must also be elevated. They put the tawajjuh on the sheikh and he also got elevated. My dear respected friends, today the murids are the sheikhs and the sheikhs are the murids. Believe me, really, it is working that way. There is no dedication. If a murid is told something which is against his feelings, against his heart, he cuts contact with you. That is the position that the Piri Muridi of today stands. There is no dedication or very little dedication. If you begin to dedicate and become very, very punctual in your mamul, inshallah, it is hope that that love will build. And because of that love, my dear respected friends, you will progress slowly, slowly towards the recognition and the marifat and the love of Allah. My dear respected friends, it is fresh in my mind like as if this incident happened yesterday. And the taste of the samosa is still in my mouth right now, though it happened 35, 40 years ago. That our spiritual mentor, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayh, you used to have consultation every day after Maghrib. You had to make an appointment and you had to wait outside till Hazrat was finished with his awabin, his duas, his mamuls, then he used to call you in. One particular day I said I want to consult with Hazrat. He gave the time, okay, come after Maghrib, after awabin. Waited outside, I was called in. When I was called in, nobody, Hazrat was sitting on the bed. As soon as I got to him, sat down, he said, here under the bed there's a plate, pull the plate out. I pulled the plate out and there was a samosa inside. He said, eat it. I ate the samosa. Such a delicious and warm samosa, Allah alone knows from where it came. I was sitting outside, nobody came inside, nobody came out. And they don't prepare food inside. Where did the samosa come from? Anyway, wherever it came from, my good fortune that I got a, you know, samosa from my sheikh, warm, tasty, tasty still in my mouth till today. But the advice that he gave is something that each one of you must listen carefully and practice upon. He said, Piara, my loved one, all the zikrs you make, all the awrads that you make, the mamuls that you fulfill, it has only one reason to do it. And the reason is that your lifestyle comes into the lifestyle of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, you begin to practice on the sunnahs of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the bara tasbih that you do is also done that you have that remembrance in your mind all the time, that you remember, you do not forget. So when you repeat the name of Allah all the time, then that thought of Allah is in within you for a very, very long time or forever. And he said that the bara tasbih, you do not do it your whole life till you die. You do it till you attain the marifat of Allah. After you have attained the marifat of Allah, you need not to make the bara tasbih or the azkars any longer. He further said, if you got a headache and you take a tablet, and that very tablet takes your headache away, you don't go for a second tablet. In the same manner, you make that zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your mamulats, your awrad. Now, just think for one moment, my dear respected friends, the importance of the sunnah in a mu'min's, a Muslim's life. Practice it and you will see that when you are performing wuzu, from the beginning of the wuzu till the end of the wuzu, for every action that you do, you make an intention, whether it be with your tongue or with your heart, that this is a sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if in every part that you are washing or making masah, when you're thinking of the sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then my dear respected friends, where do you get evil thoughts and get other thoughts of other things? That's the reason, my dear respected friends, when I'm making wuzu and somebody talks or somebody talks to me, it brings great anger into my heart. But Allah shukr, I control the anger and I don't vent it out. I make sabr. The same way, my dear respected friends, your salah is supposed to be your miraj, whereby you in front of Allah and speaking to Allah. There are 52 sunnahs of salah. They're hanging on the walls there. Now imagine every single action in the salah. Sunnat, 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 sunnat. Where do you get that thought of other things when you are thinking of the sunnah? What will the quality of your salah become? That is what bayat is about. Bayat is not just to repeat words that the sheikh says. You repeat it, I'm the murid now. And soon I will be getting khilafat and I will be the sheikh. Your intentions are all evil. They're all wrong. Because of wrong intentions, your end is always wrong. You don't reach your aim and your ambition. Like I said, terms and conditions. My dear respected friends, I take the oath of Allah, Wallahi al-Azim, to reach that marifat of Allah is two steps. Only two. The first one is intention. And the second one is to go against your carnal desire. If you can win these two, you're in the court of Allah. The world will become yours. Allah will lay it down for you like a red carpet. My dear respected friends, I only give you one example. Out of the credit cards that you have, that the banks give, which is the highest credit card you can get? It's a platinum card, isn't it? There's nothing higher than a platinum card. For you to get a platinum card, you must earn over 30,000 rand a month. And over 20,000 of it must be banked into the bank. I earn 4,000 rand, I own a platinum card. Not one, but two. For my credit card also and my check card too. Both. And I earn 4,000 rand. Where does it come from? The hearts of people. Everything is in the hands of Allah. It's not in your hands, it's in nobody's hands, it's in Allah's hands. If Allah wants to give it to you, He will give it to you in abundance. And if He wants to take it away, He will take it away from you. Nobody can stop it. Like the hadith mentions, if Allah wants to give you something, the whole world can get together to stop it. They will not be able to stop it. And if Allah intends to take away something from you, and not to give you something, the whole world can get together to give it to you. They will not be able to do it. Wallahi al-Azim, become Allah's, Allah will become yours. All the gates from here will open, be open for you, right into Jannah and beyond. You got to work for it, my dear respected friends. First lesson, humble yourself. You are nothing. Our Buzurgan Deen, our pious elders, used to think even the dogs in the street that are roaming, not pet dogs we are talking, dogs that are roaming the streets are better than them. But here, no. We must be the best. We must be somebody. We must be something. That is what cuts everything off. Allah needs your humbleness because He is the greatest. When He is the greatest, we got to be the lowest. So the first lesson, my dear respected friends, learn is to become humble. And what will teach you the humbleness is silence and to keep quiet. Because the more you speak, the more you are trying to show that you are somebody. And completely contrary, my dear respected friends, to humbleness. People that are humble speak very little. And people that have knowledge, that are clever, speak very little. It is those ignorant, stupid, idiotical people that speak too much. I had one visitor, was a great alim, he was a secretary of a big jamiat from overseas, to came and visit many, many years ago. He comes here in the masjid, he finds objection for this. Finally got so tuck of him. We told him, you make the imamat, you do everything, then there'll be no complaint. One day he came home for meals. I told the wife, give me 2 tins. In 1 tin, fill it up with beans right till the top. In the 1, take it half and fill it only half. I bought it both tins to the Maulana. I told him, shake the one that's full. He shook it. I say, you hear any sound inside? He said, no, very little sound, nothing. Take the half full one, shake it. He shook it. You hear sound? Yeah, man, too much sound. I say, those people that are half-minded talk too much and make too much noise and too much objection. So now you decide what kind of mind you got. Half a mind or a full mind. And according to that, act. My dear respected friends, I'm advising you for your betterment. If you get lost, it's not my problem. You gain, it's not my problem. You are helping yourself. So help yourself. And when you get to the stage, really, wallahi al-azim, you know, the joy that you will have in your heart of worshipping Allah, there is no words that can explain it. But unfortunately, a lot of sacrifice, dedication is required. Now, I'm only going to read one story that is not an easy drive, this. Really, it's not an easy drive, it's not an easy ride. It's a very, very difficult ride. And on the way, Allah is going to test you just about enough. And if you can pass those tests, you're gone. And if not, you lost. So come, my dear respected friends. Don't lose. Gain and be there for Allah, and Allah will be there for you, inshallah. Now, when you want to become a divine lover of Allah, Allah will want to test you, and He tests everybody and many, many times. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over 80 times mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem the words patience. That is something that is not in our dictionary. If you can only get it into your dictionary and start practicing on patience. And patience can only be born when some hardship comes upon you. And most of it comes from your family, believe me. Like it happened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the last life of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked that all the problems, difficulties, hardships you had, from who did you get the most? He said, from my family, the Quraysh. So that carries on. Now there is where you need your patience. Now here's the story that goes. Hazrat Saadi rahmatullah alayhi narrated that once when Abu Zuruk woke up to perform Tahajjud Salah, he heard the divine voice reprimanding him, worship as much as you please, nothing is accepted. Now this voice came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A murid of the Buzruk also heard this reprimand. The Buzruk was stricken with grief. And I'm worshipping Allah. Now yeah, nothing of mine is being accepted. Nevertheless, he did not abandon hope in Allah's mercy. He performed salat that night, the next night, and the next night. And when he rose and made preparations for tahajjud, the ignorant murid, I should be changing this word to the clever murids, because nowadays no murid is ignorant, all of them are too clever. So the murid said, Hazrat, why are you making this effort when you have been rejected? And your efforts are not being accepted by Allah. The Shaykh said, even if my deeds are rejected, you tell me, where else can I go? On whose door can I knock? There is no one else for me. Whether I am accepted or rejected, I shall continue knocking on the door. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala manifested itself, and a divine voice proclaimed, go, you have been accepted. My mercy has settled on you. The Shaykh was a true lover of Allah Ta'ala. The Odia say that sometimes Allah Ta'ala deals with His beloved servants in such ways to manifest their love and sincerity. The true lover of Allah never abandons his pursuit to attain his beloved one. So you never ever abandon it. No matter what comes your way, whatever happens, that is a test from Allah. And you pass the test, you are gone through. And you fail the test, you are a goner. So my dear respected friends, the shaitan, believe me, is very powerful. Very, very powerful. He just don't want me to speak on the intention, and he doesn't want me to speak on the carnal desire. It is just getting tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and before we know anything, my dear, Ramadan is over. For remember, tonight is the last Tuesday night that you will spend in 2011 of Ramadan. Tomorrow being Wednesday is the last Wednesday of Ramadan that you will spend in 2011. We do not know if we will see the next Ramadan. Make the best of it. My dear respected friends, ask couples the ecstasy of love. Everything happens in the end. Ask a smoker, which is the best part of the puff, the end of the cigarette. The end of the Ramadan, my dear respected friends, is the best part of Ramadan. It is for that reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept two things in the end of Ramadan. One is Laylatul Qadr. The second is the forgiveness. So my dear respected friends, value your time as it goes, because these days don't come back. Try as much as you want. Now I got one condition only for people to become bayat. If you have become bayat with the sheikh, your sheikh is alive. Even if you attempt to become bayat, your bayat is null and void. You can only become bayat if you had no sheikh before, you had never ever become bayat, or you became bayat and your sheikh is late now, he has passed away. So those intending to become bayat, say after me, say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his true prophet. I bring faith in Allah, in his angels, in his holy books, and all his prophets, on taqdeer, whether it be good or bad, and to be raised after death. I repent from all my sins, whether big or small, and I make a promise, I will not commit any sin, and if I commit a sin, I will repent immediately. O Allah, accept my repentance. Include me amongst your pious servants. Give me tawfiq from your pleasures, and in the total obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have become bay'at with Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah alayh. My dear respected friends, those that have become bay'at for the first time, please consult Ustad. He will take your name, he'll give you the necessary literature and tell you what your ma'amuls are, what you ought to be doing. When Ustad come now, he will also make the dua for you. My dear respected friends, I only want you to remember one thing, and remember it very carefully. You can break your bayat any time you want to. You are at liberty. Only inform me that you are breaking your bayat. I will gladly give you permission to go to another sheikh to become bayat. But one thing remember, that you haven't become bayat with somebody small. You have become bayat with somebody very, very, very great. When Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was relaxing in his room one day, when he was lying down, he heard a voice from the unseen telling him, "O Zakaria, anybody that is attached to you, anybody attached to you will have prolonged life in the hereafter. And I challenge the people, if you have become bayat with Hazrat Sheikh and the person has died and he practiced on his ma'amul, go and dig his grave, you'll find his body intact. I challenge the people for that." My dear respected friends, anytime you want to break the bayat, you are at liberty. You are doing me no favor. Wallahi lazim, you are doing me no favor. I am doing you a favor. By showing you the path to get to Allah, value it. Don't spit. These days the murids, they spit in the well and still they drink the water. You are not going to benefit. Don't abuse the Sheikh. Don't speak against him. It is going to come against you someday. And the consequences is going to be very poor and very bad. May Allah safeguard us, really. Come, my dear respected friends, change. Allah is waiting for you, for all of you with open arms. There's only one way, and that is the right way. And do it the right way, and you'll see where you'll end up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.